Welcome to Doctrine and Doxology, a podcast series designed to help our Christian beliefs lead to Christian worship. As we engage with listener-submitted questions, we hope you will grow in the knowledge of the Christian faith and, in turn, will worship and glorify God. Thanks for joining us as we go from understanding to worship. Hello and welcome, all you podcast listeners.
That's a good name for them.
Well, I was going to call them potties, but
that probably wouldn't. That could be messed up.
Yes.
Just like anything can be, you know, something that actually is not bad, it can be used for bad.
Right. Madison told me to use the phrase loyal listeners.
Loyal listeners.
But I felt like that was totally offensive to the non-loyal listeners.
There you go.
The
drive-by listeners.
Yeah. So we generally welcome you to this general unoffensive podcast.
Yeah, and you know who you are.
Yes. Welcome.
Welcome. Isn't it good to be here?
Yeah. I had to think about it for a second, but yes.
Okay.
It's a busy week. Coming back from break, there's always a pile of stuff to do.
Yep. So. But, you know, I had a great day yesterday, as a matter of fact.
I'm sure you did.
Just an idle conversation. Had a great Bible study. And
you passed out a lot of Bibles.
Passed out some Bibles to college students. I pray that they have their effect, that God uses them.
I was blessed last night at Bible study.
Good.
The Bible study part, but also just observation.
Yeah.
There were people there, normal people, but they were like, I can't explain it. The family atmosphere was real thick.
Very strong.
Like this person over here was holding that couple's child and taking care of them. And everybody was just kind of there, and their children were off with other people, and everybody was loving on everybody. It was just special.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, Sunday school last Sunday, Jerry was holding a baby all the way during Sunday school.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Jerry liked kids or kids like Jerry, but evidently I'm wrong.
I like seeing that.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Because it's, otherwise these people would be strangers, but we're bound together in Christ, and we're in the same church, and now we love each other enough and trust each other enough to share our, like, one-month-old baby with each other. And
sure.
It's just special to me.
It was. Really neat.
So we're a day late in recording.
Yes, we are.
Last week we were a day early.
Oh, so we're even.
Yep, now we're even.
Okay. What do we do about those times that we skipped? That was like several months ago, but
they don't count.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah. We try to do this every Wednesday.
Yes, we do.
But today's Thursday.
Yes, it is.
Because yesterday was super busy.
And yesterday was Wednesday.
Yes. Anyways, what do we have on the agenda,
Pippi? We have a great question.
Pippi? Yeah, isn't that your name? Isn't that what I gave you last time?
Don't know. Probably because I refuse to accept it.
Maybe Pippi. Pippi?
I have a question, though. This question came from a listener. And by the way, we
need... A loyal listener?
A loyal listener, maybe. We do need more questions, so we're being asked by our mild manager, Madison, to...
There's nothing mild.
to request more questions. So we're going to do that later, probably.
Shameful plug.
But the question for today, which is a very good question, how should Christians approach the internet with the internet? In a godly fashion. Let me read it again, because that didn't make sense as I was reading. How should Christians approach and interact with the internet in a godly fashion, especially when dealing with the internet's potential, I'm going to try to say this word.
Anonymity.
Very good. Thank you for helping me.
You're welcome.
You didn't want to hear me butcher it again, did you?
Oh, is that it?
That is the question, yes.
Okay, so let's do it. I mean, that was confusing. Ask it again.
Well, there are two parts, kind of. One of them is, what do you do when you're alone?
I didn't hear that.
Anonymity.
Potential, and
that mean by myself?
It means,
and no,
like,
one's watching over my shoulder?
No, not really, no.
Oh, I thought that's the way I took that. Well, are you going to look up the meaning?
I'm looking up the
question. Are you looking up the question? You don't trust me.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Here it is. How should Christians approach and interact with the internet in a godly fashion, especially when dealing with the internet's potential anonymity? Anonymity
means,
like... I don't think
you said any words different than I did.
I just said them better.
Said them quicker.
Anonymity is like the anonymous. It's an unknown. So people can pretend to be somebody they're not on the internet.
Okay.
Or they can be anonymous on the internet. It doesn't mean that they're alone.
Hmm.
It just means that you don't really know.
No one's to hold you to account.
Yeah, you don't know the source of what you're reading necessarily. You don't know the person. You don't know the content, the context. Anonymous.
Well, to me, the problem would be, that's not a problem to me. The problem to me is when I'm at home by myself and there's a temptation to go places I don't need to go when I'm on the internet.
Trying to think.
No one holding me to account. No one else in the room. No, whatever you call that, accountability partner.
Okay, here's what anonymous means.
Okay.
Dictionary.
I know what that means.
Anonymous?
Yeah.
Well, that's what the word. That's the word.
That's when somebody gives a tip to the police, but they don't want to let them have their name.
Right. It means without any name acknowledged as that of an author, contributor, or whatever. Unknown name, name withheld, lacking individuality, unique character, or distinction.
Was
so
you
unknown.
Using the internet to find out that information?
It was.
Interesting. That's what the question's about.
So it's an unknown source, unknown person. Like even on social media, for instance, you might see somebody post something, but you don't really know that person. There's a degree of anonymity there.
Okay.
Unknownness. Unknowing.
Okay, so we'll deal with that question second.
Okay.
Let's deal with the first question first.
Okay.
How should Christians approach the inner and interact with the internet in a godly fashion? Because there's some bad stuff on the internet. And there's some good stuff there, too.
Yeah, just like everything.
Sure.
It can be used for good. It can be used for bad. I just automatically think of two things, scripturally speaking.
Okay.
Read the book of Proverbs, because you need the wisdom from heaven to interact with things like the internet.
Okay.
And the book of Proverbs is just a book of wisdom. I mean, it's God gives you wisdom when you're reading that book, and you're able to apply those parables or those proverbs, those sayings
to his son. Yeah.
Yeah, to all sorts of things. James talks about the wisdom that comes down from heaven, that God freely gives it to those who ask. And so when you're dealing with things like the internet, first you need not your own understanding. You need heaven's understanding, heaven's perspective, heavenly wisdom. And then I thought of 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Yeah, yeah.
So beg God for wisdom, and then don't do anything that you think might dishonor him.
Sure.
I mean, if I'm giving two simple rules to somebody, those are the rules I'm giving. Now,
give them again, because they're simple rules. And I was thinking while you were speaking.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
If you don't listen, how can we expect anyone else to?
Well, I'm trying to... See, I was going a different direction.
Okay.
Kind of. So say your two things again.
Well, I have my two simple things, and I have a lot of practical things.
Okay.
My two simple things is plead God for wisdom.
Right.
Discernment, insight, all of those things.
Yes.
Because you're dealing in a complex world, the internet.
Yes.
And then do everything to the glory of God. And so if you're not going to glorify God with this post or this action or this purchase or whatever else, then it's not worth your time.
Oh, okay. That's true.
And probably dangerous.
Absolutely. And it can lead you down a dark path.
Yes.
That's the dark path is what I was kind of studying on and how to avoid that.
So you went just right for the evil stuff.
That's where my selfish nature wants to go.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, I think we should talk about the...
Because I'm reading like Facebook and I'm off to the right. There's little ads and some of them are bad.
Well, I think we also need to talk about...
They're trying to draw you over there.
Maybe the not so blatantly bad stuff. Christians still need to know how to navigate the internet.
Oh, sure.
Even when it's not the outright immoral stuff that's there.
But you can go to the internet and go to YouTube, for instance, and get a great sermon by a guy that's probably been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Or you can get some that are alive.
Yeah.
And still great sermons.
Yeah.
So you can get some good... good godly teaching, I guess, on the internet.
So how'd you take the question then? I took it more as general, not just let's talk about the evil. I took it more as let's look at the internet as a whole. We're given the benefit of the doubt that people understand the blatantly immoral stuff on the internet that's out there we should avoid wholeheartedly.
I took it both ways. I took it, there's two sides to the coin. You can,
heads
you can get on the internet, and I don't know if it's a heads or a tail, but it goes south. I mean, it's the dark side. There's a dark side to the internet
that can
lead the Christian. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. Tails.
Okay.
Tails
that can
bad.
Lead the Christian.
Did you ever been around livestock?
But there's also great opportunities to get spiritual uplifting
on the
internet.
Yep.
So there, you can go two directions.
Okay.
So for me, I want to choose the right direction. And not indulge my fleshly nature, but indulge the spiritual nature.
Yes.
And honor God. And like you were saying, that's, you know, your key elements. I want to honor God with everything I view and watch and think. And it helps me do that if I use the internet in a godly way.
I think Christians are severely hindering themselves, and I'm putting myself in this category. So I'm saying this based out of, I think, personal experience.
Okay.
I think we are hindering ourselves in terms of service, in terms of spiritual growth, in terms of just general human flourishing and general human joy by letting the internet satisfy our boredom. I can't think of a better way to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
But really, I think in an ideal world, as Christians, we would only access the internet when we need something from it. And needs a hard word. Or when it's going to serve an agenda for God or serve the purpose of the kingdom.
Well, we used it when I asked you what time we were going to meet this morning.
Yes.
That's just we're using technology.
But sometimes, and I think too often, we are getting on there mindlessly and scrolling through news, scrolling through social media, looking at you know, this website that we like or that, mainly because we're bored.
Right.
And so we're missing out on things like family time, book reading, journaling.
Well, that book reading kind of falls into the same category as on your handheld device.
It kind of can, except I think God has built into us that reading books encourages creativity and knowledge and intellect, and I think studies show that internet use tends to do the opposite.
Okay, you're probably right.
Tends to dull the mind more than anything.
Well, and I have seen a sad situation where we had a mother and a grandmother on their handheld device, and they had a 3-year-old child sitting in a chair. This is at a restaurant.
Yeah,
and she was putting on a show. And, you know, me and maybe a few other people in the restaurant were enjoying her, but her primary caregivers weren't.
Yeah.
They were on their own, in their own little world.
Well,
and I said, oh, how sad.
I made a decision, and I should have made this decision earlier in my marriage, but I made a decision when our girls were born
that I'm not going to work unnecessarily after hours, and I'm not going to spend all my time on my phone.
Right, right.
And I'm not obviously perfect at that, but I think by God's grace, I've been able to generally keep that, because I've seen too many times when that very situation you described has happened, and I refused to miss, neglect, or ignore my children or their lives because I'm on the internet doing something.
Yep. And there's always, you see a lot of the students, we're in a college town, we see a lot of students who walk across the sidewalk, walk across the street, in a crosswalk, looking down and not paying attention to the cars that may or may not stop for them.
Well, at least they made it to the crosswalk.
There you go. But they ought to look, you know.
True.
But, you know, we do see that, and we see that seems to be a trend.
So, back to the question, because I think we've kind of gotten off here a little bit.
Okay, we did. We're flying around.
It's how to use the internet in a godly manner, approach and interact.
In a godly fashion, yes.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I mean, you can find sermons, you can find podcasts.
Yeah, it goes back to what I said. If it serves your spiritual growth or the advancement of the kingdom of God, by all means, take full advantage of it.
Sure. I think God wants us to use technology.
Yeah, and we find Paul in the New Testament taking advantage of his surroundings of his day to advance the gospel.
Sure.
And so the internet should be, we should see it as Christians as a unique and blessed tool for that purpose.
Right.
And then fight against the tendency of its negative effects upon our lives, robbing family time, robbing spiritual growth, leading us down very dark paths. Yeah. So I want to share some practical things.
Okay, cool.
That I have learned. Some of these I've learned just from watching families that I know.
Okay. Is my family one of those?
No.
Oh, okay.
Rule number one. Do not, by any means or to any degree, trust your kids with the internet.
That sounds like very good advice.
Period. Too many let their teenagers, their middle schoolers, even now their elementary kids, have unfettered access on a smartphone or an iPad or a laptop or a computer. They take it off to their room. They take it off to the bathroom. They take it off to the living room. They take it off outside, whatever.
Yeah.
And they have no monitoring, no parental guidance, no parental control. It's just full unfettered access. And I promise you that always leads to the same spot. I don't care how good your kid is.
Yeah.
It always leads in the same direction. So just period, never trust your child with the internet.
Okay.
It's rule number one.
Rule number one. How many you got?
I don't know. I'm making them up as I go.
Okay.
Rule number two, don't trust yourself with the internet. Because if you or I have unfettered access, full unfettered access, our sinful nature is going to take over eventually.
Yes. Yes, I agree. That's kind of why I addressed the question the way I addressed it.
Well, so I have practical things that I do in my family. We have safeguards built in. I don't have the internet on my phone. Have no social media on my phone.
He's waving his phone in front of my face for you out there who can't see what we're doing.
Correct.
Which would be every one of you.
So no internet, no social media, no installing apps. Like I don't have any of that on my phone.
Okay.
For myriads of reasons. I want to fight that battle from a distance. I don't want to get up and engage the battle of being led down dark paths.
Right, right.
Two, I don't want to waste my time any more than I already have with phone games and this, that, or the other.
Right.
So I have just a handful of things that I can do on my phone, like check my email, text, call. That's almost about it.
Okay.
Do classwork for the university, that kind of stuff. But even on like my laptop, I have built-in software that reports to my wife constantly. So it's just accountability. It's not unfettered access to the internet. I don't want unfettered access to the internet for myself. I don't think any Christian should have that. I think the temptation's too great.
But, you know, we always say, well, that really doesn't affect me.
Right, but it does to some degree.
I'm stronger than that.
You may not be running down evil, dark paths, but you may be spending 5 hours on your phone looking at Facebook. And yes, one's more wicked than the other.
Sure.
But both are sinful.
But I can see also there's over a length of time messing around on the internet, you could start dabbling into things where you don't belong.
Yeah.
And you can be led. You know, it's like a gateway drug.
Well, yeah.
It could lead you to more and lead you to more and lead you to, and pretty soon you're feeling miserable because you've gone where you know God doesn't want you to go.
Well, I firmly believe at this point in life that 99.9% of people who have access to the internet go there. I believe that. Even when they tell me otherwise, I think they at least have gone there. But even for the 0.1% that doesn't go down that evil, dark path, you can still waste your life.
Sure.
Just mindlessly getting on the internet. And so don't trust yourself with it. Like, it's just dangerous.
Live in the world.
Well, be present.
Don't live in that world. Live in the world.
Yeah, be present. Cultivate relationships.
Yeah,
be active.
Part of our ultimate goal, you know, is to share the gospel. Part of our ultimate goal is to be aware of those around us who may be in need.
Yeah.
And if we're blocked off, when we have the spiritual blinders, not spiritual blinders, the blinders of being locked into our handheld device, then we can't see the needs of others around us.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good idea.
That's right. Good.
I'm going to not do that anymore. I don't think I've used it very much. I'm kind of old, and technology hasn't caught up to me yet.
Yeah. Well, you
haven't, caught up to it yet.
Well, but, I will say that, you know, there was a detoxing period in life when I got rid of all this stuff on my phone because I was wasting so much time just mindlessly playing games on the phone or looking at this or that or, you know, scrolling through this or that, whatever it was. And so when that was taken away from me, I found myself picking up my phone constantly to do something and thinking, oh, I can't do that anymore.
Do you think that it can tend to make someone non-sociable?
Well, absolutely. That's proven.
And if all of our college students, for instance, we're talking about a lot of, not all of them, of course, but there's a lot of college students that live there all the time. And I think it kind of tends to make them a little bit unsociable, hard to make relationships, and don't like to be around other people, don't like to be in crowds, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I think you can even see it just in walking through a community. The friendliness level has dipped.
Okay.
The interaction with strangers is less.
Right.
Because everybody's in their own world. It has driven autonomy. It has driven individualistic thinking. I'm in my own little world that I control here on this little device.
Right, right.
And that's just dangerous.
Yeah.
But it can be good. You can make a mass group of people in a text message and contact everybody all at once.
True. It has advantages for sure.
Prayer requests and reminders and all those sorts of things.
So we need to use it wisely.
Yes.
So we need to have some scriptures.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do it all for the glory of God. James chapter 1 and the book of Proverbs, seek heaven's wisdom. I mean, this is such a complex, massive issue.
Did you do
feel like that's
1
the,
Corinthians 10?
Yeah.
You did it so fast. It's 21, I think you
31.
Said. How about 23? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful.
That's good.
I like that one. Kind of addresses this. And not all things build up.
I think the best we can do on this is just give general principles.
That's a good scripture.
It is. Good general principle. Should we answer the second half of the question?
No, I'm not through with the first yet. I'm reading actually my notes here. I'm trying to find a scripture that really is jumping out at me. Okay. Let's answer the second part of the question. Especially when dealing with the internet's potential that word. Anonymity.
There you go.
Did I say it right?
You did. Better than Ephesians.
Better than Ephesians.
Ephesians.
Hey, I heard somebody else say it the way I do the other day, and I thought of you.
You were listening to your own recording, weren't you?
Oh, no. I was listening to a friend of ours here in church.
You've rubbed off on somebody in our church?
Are they rubbed off on me? I think I'll throw them under the bus and not myself.
So the unknown aspect of the internet, I don't really know.
And we're saying because we don't know who wrote the article or who authored it or what their intention is.
I guess. I don't really know how to take that second part. I've kind of wrestled with it. I mean, if you're just doing that for information, like, I can tell you what an academic perspective is.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good source, a good trusted source, it's worthless.
That's true. And I've had Christian friends repost something from a group, and it was kind of funny, but it had some language in it that was unacceptable for a Christian to be uttering.
Okay.
And so you got to be careful what you repost.
What does that have to do with anonymity?
Well, I don't know.
It just came in? No, it came out.
This person thought that posting from this other group, even though she's probably not an active part of that group, was funny. So she posted it, and that group doesn't necessarily have a Christian value in their life. So they're posting things that are a little bit off color.
Okay, yeah.
And so that doesn't apply to this?
I kind of get it. I kind of follow.
Okay, I'm stretching it then, ain't I?
I want to take it this way. Like, I can give you the academic answer. If it's not a credible, trusted, verifiable source, then it's worthless. But from a Christian perspective, this is how I want to take that question. I don't know if this is how it was intended, but this is how I want to take it. Even when we, like, do good things on the internet, listen to a sermon, watch a sermon, whatever it may be, follow a ministry, there's still a degree of anonymity in every one of those sources.
You're saying, like, people don't know us?
Correct. There's still a degree of it, even if it's very helpful.
Okay.
So there are several ministries I follow.
Okay.
That I benefit from. The Lord, I think, uses them to minister to my life. So I visit them and benefit from them regularly. But truth be told, I really don't know the people behind it.
Like, so you listen with a guarded heart.
Yes. And I think that is a major, major thing that the church needs to understand today, in today's technology-driven world, internet-driven world, internet-based world,
mm-hmm.
that you shouldn't be turning to these people that you don't really know. You may know their name, and you may know their preaching style. You may know their books. You may know some things about them, but you don't really know their lives,
okay,
and know who they are as people. And so you shouldn't be turning to them over your own local church.
Or over God's Word.
Yeah. Like, your local church is imperfect, and it's messy, and your pastor is imperfect, and he's messy. I get all of that. But you know he's messy, and you know they're messy and imperfect because you know them.
Right, and you know their heart.
You know their heart.
Even though they may be messy, you know that
right.
Their intentions are always for your good.
And so, as Christians, we need to get back to this sense of being present in the local church, to study the scriptures together, to fellowship together, to serve the Lord together. If you're getting the primary, your primary spiritual diet or spiritual growth from these internet sources with this large degree of anonymity, I think you are probably setting yourself up for heartache.
Okay.
And
so your primary source
should be your local church.
Well, I'll put that maybe in conjunction with the Bible.
Well, I'm
and
saying
relationship with God. Just do your daily walk with God.
Yeah, I'm saying that is a given. That your church, if your church is not teaching the Bible, you need to find a different church.
There you go.
So it's a given that it should be based on Scripture. But when it comes to understanding that Scripture and applying that Scripture, if you're only listening to or only going to or only following the advice of these people in far distant lands, then I think that's unhealthy.
Okay.
And
yeah.
But I think that's the tendency, right? Like that's... We live in a day of podcasts.
Sure.
We live in a day of articles. We live in a day of sermons on the internet and celebrity preachers and all of that. And so our tendency is to look to those people as our leaders. But we don't know them and they don't know us.
Okay.
And God has made the church to be, and spiritual growth to be, relational.
Right.
Even if
right.
those relationships are tough and hard, and truth be told, they are. But your pastor knows you, and you know your pastor. And your church knows you, and you know your church. And I think much more healthy growth comes from that.
If he gets off base, you can call him to account.
Yeah, and he can do the same to you.
Well, I was thinking that you probably should ground yourself in God's Word primarily, and then when you do listen to these other sources, listen with your antennas up so that you recognize when something starts straying away from what God's Word actually says.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people start putting in what they think it says. So this probably happened, and this is probably the way things were going at that time.
Yeah.
And they may be right, and they may be wrong.
Yeah.
But you just got to depend on God's Word and if they're accurate to it.
Well, even the ministries that I follow and benefit from, like you said, I listen with a sense of caution and my guard up, because those people, they'll say things I disagree with, and they're going to do things that I think are wrong.
But if they start teaching something that's contrary to the Word, then you...
Yeah, then you stop. I mean,
you go, whoa, let's investigate here.
But I have to understand, as I'm listening to them or reading them or whatever else, that I don't really know them. And so they can't be my primary source of spiritual nutrients.
So that's for the word anonymity.
Yeah, like I said, I don't really know how to take that question other than to say there's always that degree there. Sometimes it's absolute. You absolutely don't know. So don't get your news and your stuff from anonymous sources, or your biblical teaching from anonymous sources. But even on the identifiable people and sites and ministries, there's still a degree there of anonymity. And I think as Christians, that means we should engage the internet cautiously when we are receiving from it. And we engage it vigorously when we're spreading the gospel through it.
Okay.
Do you like those words? Vigorously.
Yeah. That's the way I live my life, actually.
I was going to make a comment, but I decided not to.
Way to hold back. Well, when I read that, I really didn't read it that way. But that's okay.
Well, you
and I
took
kinda,
the word to mean something else, didn't you?
Yeah, I kind of felt like they were intending to say something like, when you're on the internet without anyone to hold you to account, when you are alone. And then when I read it to Robin earlier, she said, well, we're never alone. She kind of understood it that way, too. So
maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Take it that way.
But... Of course, 1 John 4:16 says that God abides with us. So we are never alone. We live with God. God lives with us. And we're in his presence, whether we're being good or whether we're being bad. So it behooves me to be good.
Behooves.
It behooves me.
Vigorously
to, yes.
Behooves you.
Vigorously behooves, yes.
Man. Such power in your words.
Oh, I tell you, if there is... It's not me.
Well, this subject was as broad as could be.
That's true. Okay, thinking of broad subjects, we need some more subjects to discuss on our podcast.
Yes.
So our mild manager, Madison, has requested that we beg people to... send in questions so that we don't have to have our questions on the internet.
We have stooped to begging.
We have. We have about a month left.
Man, this whole thing could be over in a month.
Well, the good questions may be over in about a month, unless some of our faithful, loyal, lovely listeners.
It's true.
Submit some questions.
There's no question off limits here. They can be practical. They can be theological. They can be based in theory. They can be biblical questions.
Like, are there flying saucers in the Bible?
Yeah. They didn't have tea back then, so no.
Okay. Well, that one's answered.
Yeah, anyways.
I was worried how he was going to answer that, but that's good.
We do need questions. We do want questions. It's a joy because you guys force us to study and to think, and it's a joy to be able to share what we think God is revealing to us about these questions. Not that we know everything.
From His Word, absolutely.
Yeah, not that we know everything and are claiming to have the answers to all things, but it's a joy to think through it with you.
Yeah, and it, some questions we've got, I just kind of Google it, use the internet.
Oh, my goodness. It's like using Wikipedia.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because there's some good answers there sometimes. And I do.
Please do not follow that example.
Don't do as I say. Don't do as I do. Never mind. I'm not going to try to finish that quote. Because it's wrong.
Well, there's something new about the podcast.
There is. I know a few things. I know you can access it through asking Siri to play it.
Siri, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, is that the wrong word?
Yep.
Okay. Whatever that person's name
starts
is.
Starts with an A, ends with Alexa.
Oh, Alexa. Okay. So you can ask Alexa to play Doctrine and Doxology.
Podcast.
And it will happen.
Yep.
Bada bing, bada boom.
There may be some new things coming in the new year, maybe.
Good.
Maybe. Depends on...
I like to keep it lively.
I'll say it like this. Depends on both my time and the federal government. Leave it at that. Cliffhanger. Ooh.
Yeah, that's making me wonder.
There's another thing that's new that is new right now today.
Okay.
And it is that we have a Twitter account.
Really?
We are on the Twitter.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a good thing. I hope it's a good thing.
It can be a good thing.
Could be a good thing. But it's got a different name than Facebook and Instagram. Okay. Facebook and Instagram is Doctrine and Doxology Podcast.
Yes.
The Twitter account is Doc and Dox Pod.
There were too many letters or something?
Yeah, there were too many letters. You have to make it shorter, and so...
So D-O-X.
D-O-C and D-O-X pod. I mean, I guess you could Google or search the name on Twitter, but that's the official name.
Okay.
So follow us there.
Okay. Or you can go to the internet and type in trinityweatherford.net. Did I do it right?
Yep.
And find us. That's our home webpage for our church.
Yep.
And find us there. There's other places, I'm sure.
We're not going to tell you how. We're just going to let you search around there. Yeah. And
you hit enter.
What?
Type in that, trinityweatherford.net, and hit enter.
Enter. Yeah, but anyways, never mind.
And then you scroll down until you find the podcast.
No.
No, not really.
But you'll find it. Just keep looking.
Well, that's what I do. I keep looking around until I see it. There it is.
There it is. Make sure to subscribe and follow us and rate us on iTunes. That way we can also spread what we hope to be a biblical Christian message and perspective on life's issues.
Not too much of us rambling, but mostly biblical issues and how to address them.
Yes. That's our goal. I think I've talked enough.
Okay. Well, then let me pray, and then we'll close the podcast. Our Father, we are grateful, and eternally grateful because of your great love for us, the great gift of salvation that you've given so freely. We thank you so much for Jesus, and we thank you for the substitutionary, his death for our sins and his righteousness given to us. We just thank you for the blessings of life and help us to live it intently, seeking to share your good news with the lost, always having our eyes open and our ears open to the people around us so that we might administer help to others in your name, and you be glorified through it. So, Lord, guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.